Father, immortal God, wise and great, we thank you for your faithful protection that has guided us through the week now ending. We are workers in your field, reaping the harvest of your word. We see many broken people around us who need to learn your ways, who seem lost in this world where wealth and power are the gods chased by so many. May we always remember to listen to your guidance. We ask that you lead us, your people, to live servant lives with joy and sharing, lives directed by the example of your Son, Jesus, our Savior. We ask that the power of your Holy Spirit guide us to understand your ways. We ask for courage to live the way Jesus taught us to live. We offer worship, we praise your name with our songs and with words from the heart. Help us increase the harvest, O Lord, we pray, remembering the words Jesus taught us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name.
Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever.
Amen. Many people can describe their lifestyle as something like this. I can't get it all done. I need more information. I need more money. I need more time. People are busy. Busy at work, busy with families, busy as students, even busy in the church. Their friends are busy. Their customers are busy. Life is at a fever pitch and weariness creeps into the depths of their beings. Everyone is at full speed, jostling for attention. And often, tempers are on edge. Phone calls abruptly end because there is just so much to do. No time to talk. I'll just send a text so I don't have to talk. We've all been guilty of that. I need to move on to the next important thing, so I don't have time to talk. Well, I'm reminded of something I saw back in 2020. I saw something that I'd never seen in my lifetime. Couples, often with their children, spent quality time walking around the neighborhood, relaxing, holding hands. That was the time when the COVID-19 pandemic forced rest upon our busy, anxiety-driven lifestyles. In our society, people are anxious about a lot of things. One unnecessary anxiety is when couples barely know each other because they rarely spend time together. So what happens? They grow apart. They never take time to rest together. A relationship that loves takes time. A relationship that loves requires rest. And rest restores relationships. And this is not a new concept. It's rooted in the Bible at the beginning of Genesis. Rest creates the opportunity to build relationships. This truth is so powerful that God established a pattern of rest for his people. We read in Genesis chapter 2, right in the beginning, "Thus the heavens and the earth were completed in all their vast array. By the seventh day, God had finished the work he had been doing. So on the seventh day, he rested from all his work. Then God blessed the seventh day and made it holy, because on it he rested from all the work of creating that he had done." You are made in the image of God. Part of being human, therefore, is to rest the way God rests. God didn't rest because he was exhausted from his work. Rather, he rested because he was satisfied. Maybe he was even thrilled. I don't know. He stepped back and rested to enjoy the world he had created. These verses from Genesis describe the first Sabbath on planet Earth. The first Sabbath was a time of rest, but rest as envisioned by God and as exemplified by Jesus is quite different than what most people understand today. Rest as envisioned by God is more about taking time to develop a lasting relationship with him. King David seemed to understand this. His songs were all about grateful praise, deep longing for intimacy, to be in a relationship with its God, and repentant confession, honest prayers, seeking to know God. One thing for sure, David needed time with God in order to write like he did in the book of Psalms, from the bottom of his heart. The things David wrote didn't happen just by having an occasional 30-second prayer at mealtime. David knew God. David rested with God. David developed a close relationship with God that allowed him to write all those amazing psalms with words like his words that are found in Psalm 116. I'm going to look at verses 1 through 7. David wrote, "I love the Lord because he has heard my voice and my pleas for mercy. Because he inclined his ear to me, therefore I will call upon him as long as I live." Endless work becomes endless distraction. Yet God still invites us to rest with him. Have you noticed that work never ends? Never does. The truth is that work will never be done. That's the nature of work. It's never ended. And so God doesn't wait for you to finish working before he invites you to rest, because he doesn't require that you have a working sense of accomplishment before you rest with him. And God inclined himself toward King David because King David loved God. God heard him. God listened to him. God inclined himself toward him. David did not need to have to wait until all his work was done in order to rest with God. Rather, God presents the gift of a closer relationship to us if only we would simply choose to spend some time with him. David continued, "The snares of death encompassed me. The pangs of Sheol laid hold on me. I suffered distress and anguish. Then I called on the name of the Lord. O Lord, I pray, deliver my soul." And soul here is the total individual you, body and spirit. David understood, just as we do, that there is suffering in life. We don't pretend that pain isn't real. And thankfully, we don't walk alone. The gospel message teaches us that we are not alone. And the Bible teaches us that we are invited to rest with God. Resting with God is a significant factor that enables us to face our problems honestly and have great hope at the same time. David continued, "Gracious is the Lord and righteous. Our God is merciful. The Lord preserves the simple. When I was brought low, he saved me." Have you ever noticed that shallow relationships also require a lot of maintenance? You may not have ever considered this, but this is a real truth. Deep relationships are much easier because when someone loves you, you can be yourself and you can pour your heart out and experience mercy and kindness and intimacy. David wrote that he was brought low, but then he was saved. David felt humiliated. He felt so humiliated due to the turmoil in his life, in his family, in his kingdom. Regardless of his humiliation, he was loved and protected by God, and he could feel that love and protection. In the same way, this is why we want a spouse, a soulmate, with whom we can be who we are. No pretense. We can simultaneously be humble and be loved. And likewise, we can also have a deep relationship with God. And you know what? That relationship takes time, just like it does with a spouse. God knew this, do you think? And he established a regular space of time for us to focus on our relationship with him. As our relationship deepens, we find ourselves looking forward to that special day of rest with delightful anticipation. The Sabbath is my favorite day of the week. David continued, "Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." Now, we need to understand that David wasn't writing about disengaging from life. David understood that rest wasn't all about him. He wasn't saying that he needed time alone to meditate on all that he had done, to clear his mind, to get recharged, or to recover his aching muscles. So what was he saying? The Bible doesn't command us to disengage relationally after a busy week of work. Rather, we are directed to press deeper into relationships with others and especially with God. That is where we will find tremendous healing, wonderful joy. Remember, a loving relationship takes time. It requires rest, and rest restores relationships. That fundamental truth. Have you ever noticed that one of the first questions you usually ask a new acquaintance is, "What do you do?" When you speak with someone you've known for a while, the question is similar. You say, "How's work?" We ask these questions because our culture motivates us to work hard. We want to answer these work questions in a manner that places us toward the top of a perceived list that quantifies our importance based upon our success at work. We are a country enslaved by work because we have been duped into believing that our work is what defines us, what defines our purpose, what defines our self-existence. Rest, and especially Sabbath rest, is an act of resistance against the false god of this world who always demands that we do in order to be. That is not the way Jesus saw things. Considering what Jesus was born to do, which was to bring salvation to the world, you might think that Jesus would have been rather tense and irritable because his task was so vast and so daunting. It's beyond comprehension. He only had 3 years of ministry to get it all done. Yet when we look at how he responded to the accusations made against him by the never stop working to justify yourself religious leaders, it becomes apparent that Jesus wasn't uptight at all. Rather, he was an incredibly non-anxious person. Jesus was secure in his relationship with his Father, and he embraced the seventh-day Sabbath. And when the Pharisees challenged him regarding the way he rested on the Sabbath day, he calmly corrected them. He corrected their misunderstanding. Let's read one of those instances in the book of Luke, chapters 6, verses 1 through 5, a familiar story. On a Sabbath, while he was going through the grain fields, his disciples plucked and ate some heads of grain, rubbing them in their hands. But some of the Pharisees said, "Why are you doing what is not lawful to do on the Sabbath?" And Jesus answered them, "Have you not read what David did when he was hungry, he and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God and took and ate the bread of the presence, which is not lawful for any but the priests to eat, and also gave it to those with him. And he said to them, 'The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath.'" The Pharisees created 39 categories of prohibited Sabbath day work. Each category involves many potential Sabbath violations. The effect is that the Pharisees made up hundreds of ways to incorrectly do nothing. And you can view this list if you want. Just Google 39 categories of Sabbath work prohibited by law. Google that, and you'll come up with immediately with those 39 different categories. So when the Pharisees saw Jesus and his disciples rubbing grain in their hands, they were suddenly filled with fear and panic. Jesus and his disciples were not resting correctly. They were breaking the law that regulated how to do nothing. Not only did they have a sense of panic, but they were also angry with Jesus. Jesus was openly defying their power and position, which is exactly what Jesus wanted them to realize. Jesus wanted to make one thing absolutely clear to them. He, Jesus, was Lord of the Sabbath. They didn't define to him how to do Sabbath rest. He defines what Sabbath rest is. Jesus did not accept their false system of Sabbath rest, but at the same time, he affirmed the importance of the Sabbath rest. In no uncertain terms, he let them know, and all who would read his words, that Sabbath rest is real, and that he is the one who establishes what Sabbath rest is all about. Jesus wants us to embrace the Sabbath, but we should never include self-justification as part of our Sabbath embrace. Jesus, the Lord of the Sabbath, knew what the Sabbath was meant to be. In his rebuttal, he reminded those Pharisees that their national hero, King David, didn't follow the established ceremonial rules during a time of need. Jesus skillfully responded by telling the Pharisees that even God's own ceremonial instructions could be set aside for a greater good. So obviously, the unbiblical traditions of men are not binding. Jesus exposed those false Sabbath rules. Those rules did not embrace true Sabbath rest. Rather, those rules were all about glorifying oneself. So this afternoon, we have considered two extremes. The first extreme embraces busyness as a valid reason to avoid God's call to observe Sabbath rest. In our culture, work is highly honored, and it's used as an excuse to ignore God's call to rest. Every believer in our culture is faced with deciding about Sabbath work because we all have situations to deal with, of course. Some of us have to deal with small children or aging parents, a growing company demanding work position. Regardless of your situation, Jesus never placed an asterisk next to his words, "The Son of Man is Lord of the Sabbath." The second extreme, although not so common in our culture, can still raise its head of self-justification. We don't want to be like a Pharisee. Sabbath rest was never meant to be a tedious, monotonous day of rules and regulations that fail to develop loving relationships. When the disciples went into the grain field with Jesus, did they know they were breaking the religious law? Did they know they would be labeled lawbreakers and maybe deviants? Well, I doubt that they went into the field as an act of defiance, especially against the authorities. That would have been dangerous. But they certainly knew they were not following the 39 categories of Sabbath work prohibited by law to do nothing. Yet they had a very, very good reason for being in those fields. It was the same reason that David had to worship God so intimately. David knew God. David rested with God. Similarly, the disciples knew Jesus. The disciples were resting with Jesus. They were building their relationship with him. The disciples were in the fields with Jesus because they were spending time with Jesus on the Sabbath. Jesus, who is Lord of the Sabbath, who defines what Sabbath rest is meant to be. And that, brothers and sisters, is what Jesus wants from all of us. Jesus wants us to spend Sabbath rest. He wants us to spend time with him building a relationship. Amen. Hallelujah.